This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis riding Old Dan out again this morning, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. And I know we come on at midnight in some places and 4 o'clock in the morning in other places. A lady called me the other day and said, Trailblazer, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to listen to you. Well, I appreciate that. But basically, we're on in the morning, so I always say good morning, good morning. And I wish you would write me or call me and say good morning, Trailblazer. But we're bringing you this study. We began yesterday with a little introduction and basic study. But today we want to get started in the coming of our blessed Lord, the return, the soon return of our blessed Lord back to this old sin-cursed earth, my friend. But listen, let's notice first the importance of the doctrine of the second coming of Christ as set forth in the Bible in its relationship to all other doctrines. Christ's first coming is without question the basic or the foundation truth. And apart from it, we have no Christianity, no salvation, no second coming. But its place in the Bible is almost insignificant when compared to the mention of the second coming, my friend. Listen, the statement concerning the second coming of Christ occurs in the New Testament on an average of once every 20 verses. Let me make that statement again. The statement concerning the second coming of Christ occurs in the New Testament on an average of once every 20 verses. In other words, the second coming is mentioned in the New Testament over 318 times. Then, by far the greater number of predictions concerning Christ in the Old Testament are connected with his second coming. Did it ever occur to you that the coming again of the Lord is the only doctrine in the Bible which God bids us to comfort sorrowing saints with? Now, let me go back there. Maybe you didn't catch that. Listen now. Put down your pots and pans there, Mama. And listen. Did it ever occur to you that the coming again of our blessed Lord is the only doctrine in the Bible with which God bids us, pastors and others, to comfort sorrowing saints? Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This statement follows several verses setting forth the second coming of our Lord back to earth again. This is also true of the Old Testament. Turn there to Isaiah. I hope you have your Bibles there by your Jim's Corner. If you have a place where you read and meditate in the mornings or at night and you have your Bible there, quickly turn to Isaiah chapter 40. It says, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee unto the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it high. Be not afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. I've seen and heard preachers and others try to comfort sorrowing individuals, mothers and dads, over the death of a child by telling them that they've gone to heaven. But nowhere in God's word is such comfort set forth. It's the second coming of our Lord that confronts the hearts of born-again believers. Yes, my friend, listen. Strange, maybe. Maybe you feel it to be strange, but it's true. In the next place, the coming again of the Lord Jesus and the events connected with his coming are the blessed hope and the eager desire of every born-again believer. Listen to Titus 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen again to 2 Peter 3. Seeing that these things are thus all to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and earnestly desiring the coming of the day by reason of which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Once the second coming of Christ was the blessed hope of the church, but today the average group that calls himself a church now knows scarcely nothing of the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and his coming is not that blessed hope today. We live in an hour of such spiritual darkness, and the second coming of Christ has been so belittled, so made fun of, so minimized, and so cried down, and counted non-essential, unimportant, and insignificant by the average preacher and theological professor until our people are in all but total darkness and there is no hope in their bosom. But thank the Lord, the second coming of Christ is the blessed hope and the desire of every true born-again believer. I know, and I've mentioned to you folks, I listen to radio preachers at night, and I'm not critical, but I don't hear them speaking about the second coming of Christ. I don't hear them speaking about the reality of Christ to their own heart. I never hear one of them. I never hear one of them tell how the Lord saved them. I never hear one of them tell how that they were awakened to the fact that they were a lost sinner. No. The total depravity of man is not preached, is not heard of. No, the average child now comes up in the Sunday school classes in our Protestant churches. They are taught to love Jesus, sweet Jesus. They sang that song, "Oh, how I love Jesus." But my friend, the total depravity of the human heart is not touched by the Sunday school teachers nor the pastor. Now, let's notice again that the coming again of the Lord is a teaching which is the peculiar and particular object of hatred and ridicule of unsaved religionists who walk after their own lusts. Now, I hope you got that. Worldly intellectual preachers, worldly churches, and worldly professed Christians hate this doctrine of the second coming, who walk after their own lusts. Now, listen to the word of God in 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this verse, that in the last days mockers shall come, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For from the day that the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Yes, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ is an object of hatred and ridicule on the part of unsaved religionists. This is the one sign of his second coming, the one sign of his soon coming, because he says here, in the last days, we read that verse, in the last days, mockers shall come. We're living in those days. Everywhere you turn, folks belittle, make fun of, laugh at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ back to earth again. This shows, first of all, that they don't know the Lord, or they would want to see him. What is the desire of your heart today, believer? You say you know the Lord. What is your desire? Is it to live a long life like folks are doing today? Getting all you can and put it in a can and set on a can? Is that your desire? No, not me. I believe every truly born-again believer desires to see the man, the Lord who died for him, the individual, the person I'm trying to say, who died for him. Does that whet your appetite just a little bit to know that the Son of God died to save your poor soul? I know I may not have three people who agree with me out there, but my friend, if you know the Lord, if you've been redeemed bought back from the slave market of sin. You know it. If you truly trust in the Lord, you know you may be not what you want to be, but you're not what you used to be. And you know that you have nothing to do with your salvation. It's all of grace, all because of the providence of our blessed Lord, all because He is sovereign and does as He pleases. And by His marvelous grace, one day, one night, somewhere, somehow, the Holy Spirit came there and dealt with your poor soul. I don't care if you was religious or non-religious. You might have been a pastor, a preacher, a Sunday school teacher, a piano player, or just a whirling out there in the world like I was. And the Lord, by the grace of God, through the preaching of the truth, through the singing of some old song, through the testimony of some old saint, telling how the Lord saved them, the Holy Spirit took a word, sent it home to your heart like a barbed arrow. That means you can't pull it out. You can't pull it out. You may walk around for days and weeks wondering what's wrong. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with you is you're not saved. What's wrong with you is you're beginning to see that you're a wretched, poor, lost soul. And that's the greatest thing that ever happens to you up until that particular day, my friend. Oh, I know that this is a foreign, strange doctrine to some of you. Some of you are laughing and cutting up and foo-fooing the old trailblazer. I know. I used to ride to work with a group of men in a car, and when I drove, I had the trailblazer on because Pastor Shelton was on the radio live at that time many years ago, and he would come on with this broadcast. He had all the sound effects and thing of old Dan walking, clomp, clomp, clomping, and all that. And they would make fun in my car. I'd be driving my car because I'd turn the radio on. They wouldn't do it when they was driving. We pool ride. And when I'd have that radio on, they would laugh. Ha ha, old trailblazer, old trailblazer, listen to that old fool. No, my friend, they all dead and gone to hell, as far as I know. I never heard one of them say. And they all gone now. All those fellas are gone. But my friend, I know that's not for me. I don't judge anybody. The grace of God is the only thing that makes a difference in my life and in your life, my friend. If you're saved, it's all because of the grace of God. I ask you, are you saved this morning? Do you know the Lord? Is He real to your heart? I believe in reality, folks. I do. I preach reality. And I know we have a booklet here by Pastor Shelton, The Sinner Fleeing from Reality. If you'd like it, call me. I'll send it to you. But my friend, great to be with you at this time, bringing you these studies now, a new subject. But we're looking at the soon coming of our blessed Lord. He's coming. I don't know when He's coming. Yeah, I may be here. I've often told folks I'll be here when He comes. And that's not for me to say. But my friend, help me with the broadcast a little if you can. And then remember my mailing address, the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number is area code 225-664-8658. Goodbye. May God bless you.